So what I want to do today is start with some bits of wisdom here, because this will lead into the class. And these are some of these great questions of all time and great thoughts of all time that just blow you away. Because I read the newspaper and see kind of what goes on in our society today, and I think, you know what, our society's wisdom, you know, we're just kind of upside down on some of our priorities. I mean, we spend $750,000 for a baseball, right? But the people who take care of our loved ones, our parents and wives and husbands, the aides and nurses, we pay them minimum wage. What is going on with that? Why is our society so upside down in our priorities that we can pay a baseball star $100 million, but we pay the people who take care and teach and nurse and preach minimum wage? Something's wrong. Something is wrong. Well, it has to do with wisdom. Well, let's get started with some of these bits of wisdom. Talk is cheap because supply exceeds demand. So, and in a two-year election cycle, that's getting more and more evident every single day. I don't know if I can handle another year of this stuff. Why do toasters always have a setting that burns the toast to a horrible crisp, which no decent human being would eat? Why did they put it there? You got to ask these questions. If the professor on Gilligan's Island can make a radio out of a coconut, why didn't he fix the hole in the boat? And what was the other question about why did she take so many clothes for a three-hour tour? Yeah. Those great mysteries of life. I love this one. The optimist sees the glass as half full. The pessimist sees the glass as half empty. The realist sees the glass as being twice as big as it needs to be. So, there, fix it. I use that on engineers at work, too. If Wile E. Coyote had enough money to buy all that Acme stuff, why didn't he just buy Roadrunner dinner? Tastes like chicken. It's frustrating when you know all the answers, but nobody bothers to ask you the questions. See, I told you I had the perfect slide. He just mentioned that earlier, and I was going, hey, that worked into the lesson. And we know somebody like this probably, and you're afraid to ask them anything because you know this is going to be an hour or two later that they're... So. Age doesn't always bring wisdom. Sometimes age comes alone. That one hurts. That one hurts real bad. Well, so what I want to do today is get into this incredible question that Job asked in chapter 28. I just love these next few verses in this book, Job 28, verses 20 through 28. We're just going to start out with this one verse. That whole section is just packed powerful with beautiful words that Job is asking. And the pretext to Job is that here you have a guy who has lost everything. He's in great physical pain. He's suffering with boils over his body. He's lost his family. He's lost everything that he owns. And it's all on a gamble from God and Satan. We get the benefit of seeing how it all played out and see what went on before. Job didn't have a clue. So Job is going through all of this suffering and all of this pain and agony and loss and everything. And he's got three great friends that are just helping him so much by saying, well, you're probably going through this because you did something really bad. Thanks a lot, pals. So that cause and effect relationship. You must have done something in order for this to have happened. If you're prospering, then you must have been doing something good. If you're in pain and suffering and loss, then you must have done something bad. If you'll just repent of your sin, everything's going to be fixed. That's not the answer. That cannot be the answer, and Job proves it. And God proves it later in the book of Job. But Job gets to this point in this book where, in spite of all this agony and all this suffering and all of this loss, he starts to ask this question. And he says, from where then does wisdom come? And where is the source of all understanding? So he's going beyond the physical pain and saying, I want to ask something bigger than this. Because his thought is, if I can figure out where the wisdom comes from, then maybe I can understand why I'm going through this. Because I'm not big enough as it is to figure out why. The great question, why? So if I can understand the source of wisdom, where it comes from, then maybe I can start to answer these questions too. So we're going to start looking at this question of where does wisdom come from and what does it mean to us today? This incredible question. So start with, what is wisdom? Just a little question here. What is wisdom? What?
Knowledge.
Is it just knowledge? But can you have knowledge without wisdom? Yeah, work with... No, I'm just kidding. Knowledge and understanding. Yes?
I think knowledge comes from books and learning, but wisdom comes from life experience.
Okay. So knowledge is more of an intellectual, and wisdom is more experiential, maybe. Now then, you can take knowledge and, you know, have wisdom from that knowledge, okay? But most of the time it's experiential, yes?
Well, in the Bible, knowledge is defined as fear of the Lord.
Yep, and we're going to get into that. Because if that's what it boils down to, then why? You know, why does that have to be? Here's a great quote that I love. Good judgment comes from experience. Experience comes from bad judgment. Been there. Done that many times. And so you go back in your life and you say, okay, now then, where have I received wisdom from? Where have I gained wisdom? Well, if I look back in my life, most of the time it's from bad choices that I made, and I hope like crazy I don't do that again. So that becomes a storehouse of wisdom of, man, the last time I did that really hurt, so I'm not going to touch that again. Okay, so that becomes a storehouse of wisdom. And it's based on our experience. And usually it's from bad judgment. Now it can go both ways. I can make good choices too and say, look back and go, you know what? I made that choice and it worked out well. And so I'm pretty confident that if I choose in that manner again, it's going to be okay. Okay? So now what else about wisdom? Where else do we get wisdom? Yes? From who? How do we get? Huh? Parents? So we get wisdom from other people. Okay? Now, what basis do we really latch onto that wisdom from other people?
Observation.
What? Ask for their bad judgment. Is that what you said?
They've already done it.
They've already made those mistakes, so maybe I can learn from their mistakes. Okay? What else does that person, what credentials does that person have to have in order for us to accept that wisdom from them?
Trust.
I mean, they can spout things all day long, and if you don't trust them, you're probably not going to accept their advice. If you trust them, then maybe what they say you can take and have an effect. So what else? What else qualifies their trust?
Yes.
Okay, so it's very important, especially if they've had that experience. And this is a perfect example of our Stevens ministry. Because so many Stevens ministries have been through something tragic in their lives and come out closer to God because of it. And so therefore, I can turn around and help you through that too. Okay? And so if you know somebody has gone through something and they have grown from it, you know, I want to listen to you. Now then, if you come up and ask me, how do you handle a 3-year-old, you're probably not going to get a lot of wisdom there, because I'm going to tell you to put them out in the backyard, close the door, and wait till they quit crying. Because I don't have kids. There are other areas of my life that we have been through and are going through that maybe I have some wisdom to share. But I want to find somebody, if I've got a 3-year-old that's just going berserk, I'm going to find somebody else that's got a 6-year-old that's doing pretty good and find out what you did at 3. Okay? So their trustworthiness, their experience, those sorts of things have an impact on whether you see that as wisdom and whether to accept it or not. The other thing that wisdom starts looking like is that it's not purely intellectual, but also very moral based. It usually has to do with how does that affect my life? How does that change my life? Where intellectual knowledge, like I say, can be turned into wisdom, but often intellectual knowledge is just, which way do you turn on Sauncey when you exit the parking lot? Okay? Well, that's just knowledge. Of course, if you turn left, then that becomes wisdom because... Never mind, I'm just... Because that was a bad choice. So intellectual as opposed to this moral foundation that wisdom normally provides. How does it apply in my life? How does that choice affect my life? So by and large, wisdom comes from experience. We learn what to do and what not to do based on the consequences that we've seen, whether they're good or bad. Yes?
I find myself oftentimes, Tim, just praying to God for wisdom.
Okay. Exactly.
And I say, Lord, just help me make wise choices.
Yeah.
And I feel like He guides me through that.
There you go. Well, I've got to come up with another lesson for next week now. So. No, that's what we're getting to is, at what point is our experience of no consequence or somebody else's? And then where do you go? And we're going to, the obvious answer is, well, God. Well, but we're going to say, well, why? Why is that true? Again, we're going to find out what we believe and why we believe it. Because why is that true that when we go to God, He is the source of wisdom? We're going to look at that. So the real question is, like she says, whenever I don't have the experience of that previous choice, if I don't have that previous experience, and I don't know who does, then the question is, from where then does wisdom come? If I'm going through something and I don't have the answer to it and I don't know who does, there's probably somebody out there that might, but I don't know, then where does that wisdom come from? Wouldn't it be great to get on the internet and poll a million people and somebody out there's got the answer and enter my problem and get that answer? Wouldn't that be great? What's the problem with that? You don't know who they are. You don't know whether to trust them. Number two, what?
Just because of the numbers doesn't mean it's right.
That's right. They may have an answer for you, but is that the right one? So it points out a problem. Points out a problem. What degree of certainty is human-based wisdom? Well, it could be pretty high, but there's always that chance. There's always that certain possibility, and it may be in my life what I'm going through that may be different. Maybe you've got a great answer for everything, but it's not going to cover every single instance. And if you've got that uncertainty in your mind, and certainly if you don't know who this person is over in Zimbabwe that's answering, well, now what? I don't have any trustworthiness built up there. And so then that answer... You think, well, maybe that's not true. So if you look at human-based wisdom, there's always a degree of uncertainty because there's always a possibility that doesn't cover all the bases. Doesn't cover all the bases. So again, the question is, from where then does wisdom come? Where then does wisdom come? So I want you to turn over to Proverbs 8. If you open your Bible in the middle, you're probably either going to go to Psalms and you go to the right a little bit, or if you wind up in Isaiah, go to the left. Proverbs 8:1. I'm going to read the first section of these scriptures. And in the first section, these scriptures talk about wisdom and what it is and what impact it has on the world. So I want you to listen for some key words here that come up as to what wisdom is and the effect that wisdom has on the world. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city at the entrances, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true. For my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. By me, kings reign and rulers make laws that are just. By me, princes govern and all nobles who rule on earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasuries full. All right, so tell me a few things there, that what wisdom is and the effect wisdom has on the world.
First of all, it calls wisdom sheep.
Isn't that amazing? And wouldn't you know, you'd point that out first. Yeah. We know wisdom is a she. We won't get any deeper than that. Yep, that's what it says. So what else? What?
Prudent.
It's prudent. What else?
Righteous.
Possess
all knowledge.
There's a good one.
It's straight.
It can only do truth. What's that? No pride or arrogance. What was over here?
Better than
you can imagine. Wisdom is greater than those things. What effect does it have in the world? What effect does it have on rulers and kings?
How they rule.
So we hope that governments have wisdom to make just laws and rule properly. We hope. Anything else?
Well, it brings riches and honor, enduring wealth, prosperity.
Isn't that something? Huh. Now, is that material or... I mean, because talking a little bit about that... I love those who love me and those who seek me find me, and it's better than gold or silver. So, you know, it may be material, it may be just above that you're so wealthy with wisdom. Yes? Okay. With no wisdom. With contentment. And Solomon proved that out. What she's saying, wisdom teaches that you can have all in the world, own everything in the world, and still not be content or wise. Solomon proved that. He tried it. He said, that's not where it's at. Owning everything that you can possibly have, that's not where it's at. Anything else that you see there?
It points again with fearing the Lord.
Yes, it does. It says there, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. And we're going to be getting into that, because that's pretty powerful when you stop and think about, well, what does that mean? Okay? So it also talks about truth. It's just, prudent, discretion, counsel, sound judgment, understanding, power. That's what wisdom is and the effect that it has. Yes?
Describing a lot of qualities of God itself.
So going back to what Mike was saying, Vicki, that's where wisdom is. That's where wisdom comes from, is God. He's the source. Well, okay, so we've looked at some of the description of wisdom and what effect that it has on the world. Well, let's look at this next set of verses and start looking at where wisdom came from. This is some of the most beautiful verses. I just love these verses here. So now then, again, start picking up some of these key words because they're amazing. And whenever I start looking at some other verses here, you're going to go, oh my goodness. Okay, so verse 22. The Lord brought me forth as the first of His works. Before His deeds of old, I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before He made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when He set the heavens in place, when He marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when He established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when He gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep His command, and when He marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at His side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in His presence, rejoicing in His whole world and delighting in mankind. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. Okay, so where did wisdom come from? Where did it start? In the beginning. What else about it?
God.
What else about it? It's eternal. We only know one who is eternal. So what else about it? What else about wisdom, the source?
Man has to have it to
be with God. Man has to have it to relate to God. What else does he say in here about wisdom, the source of wisdom? What? Oh, man, that one verse just knocks me. I was the craftsman. Where'd he go? Then I was a craftsman at his side. Think about that. Wisdom was the craftsman at God's side. Think about what that means. It's like God spoke it and wisdom crafted it into being. He said, I was a craftsman at God's side. Man, from the creation of the world, I was there when it happened. Now then, one of those last verses talks about, in verse 35, for whoever finds me finds life. Does that ring a bell with anybody? What? Yeah, but where? No one comes to the Father but except through me, the Son. Anywhere else? Seek and you shall find. How about 1 John 5? John says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Well, there's a lot of interesting things here. Now then, if we stop and think about who Jesus claimed to be, what are some of the qualities that Jesus has that we see here?
He's eternal.
He's eternal. He was there when the earth was formed. In fact, Colossians says all things were created through Him and by Him and for Him. Man. Okay? So there's all these little piece parts that are kind of coming into place that sound awfully familiar here. Okay? So just from Proverbs, you know, a few hundred years before Christ, we start seeing wisdom being described as, here's what wisdom looks like, its effect on the world, and its source. Where did it come from? Where was its beginning? What's the source of all these things? Now, we go back to God is the source of all wisdom. We look at the Bible and it starts saying, God is love, God is truth, God is justice, God is righteousness, God is wisdom. He's not an example of all these things. He is not even the best example of all these things. He is these things. He is all of these things. He is the source of all these things. Without God, we do not have perfect love. We do not have perfect wisdom. We do not have all of these things. We lose the standard which all these things are based on because He is all those things. He is wisdom. Now then, if you know for sure how something's going to turn out, what kind of decision can you make? A perfect one. I already know how it's going to turn out. Now let me ask you, those of you that have kids, how many times this week did you say, if you don't stop doing that, you're going to get hurt? Okay? Now then, that's speaking with a lot of knowledge and a lot of wisdom because, you know, I did the same thing and that hurt me. And if you don't stop doing it, you're going to get hurt too. Now then, there's always a possibility. And it's really throws egg in your face whenever they keep doing it and they don't get hurt. You almost wish, well, could you just hurt them a little bit? But by and large, if they continue to do it, they get hurt. And then that's when you go, I told you so. Don't do it again. So if we have that perfect knowledge, what was the cartoon character? I can't remember who. If I do it, I get a spanking. I do it. Yeah, that and got a spanking. So there are certain things that if you do, you know what's going to happen. You know what the consequences are. But there's still always that what if. There's always that possibility that it's not going to happen. So we don't have that perfect knowledge. If I go back 5 or 10 years ago, if I look at the time whenever I was serving on the board of this church, if we knew exactly how Hillside Christian Church was going to turn out, man, we could have made some perfect decisions. We've got to admit, you know, there were some decisions that we made that, you know, they were all pretty good, but we could have done better. So here you have this group of humanity that is praying like crazy for wisdom. We're taking our experience. We're making the best choices that we possibly know how. And, you know, there's still mistakes made. There always is. It can't be perfect. But if we had known with all knowledge how it was going to turn out, we could have made some perfect decisions, right? Well, sure. But who can do that? Nobody human-based.
If you knew how it was going to turn out,
would not need God. Isn't that something? So back to, he says, if you know how it's going to turn out and you make all those decisions, you don't need God. Which points out perfectly why we need God for our wisdom. Because He is wisdom. He is the source of all that wisdom. Because He is the only one who has seen everything from beginning to end. He knows the answers. He's already seen every single thing. It's already happened. It's already happened in God's mind. It's already done. There is no past in God. There's no future. There's only present. He's already seen it. He is the perfect source of all wisdom because He knows the answer. That's why when we approach God and say, I need your wisdom, we're saying, my perspective is like an hour at the best. Maybe I can see a week on good days. Not much more than that. And that's just a guess. So I'm saying, God, I need your wisdom because you are the source of it. You've already seen it. You know the answer. Next set of verses, I want to go to Jeremiah 10. So keep going right from Proverbs, Isaiah, Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10, verse 12. But God made the earth by His power. He founded the world by His wisdom and stretched out the heavens by His understanding. Now Jeremiah is taking this chapter here and he's comparing all the other gods and all the other idols with the one true God. And he's telling these people, he's saying, folks, all those idols can't do a single thing for you. They can't. They're worthless. He said, but here is someone, the one true God, who has founded the world by His wisdom and stretched out the heavens by His understanding. Now there's someone who can do something for you. When He thunders, the waters in the heavens roar. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from His storehouses. Everyone is senseless and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is shamed by his idols. His images are a fraud. They have no breath in them. They are worthless, the objects of mockery. When their judgment comes, they will perish. Anything less than God is doomed to perish. It's all temporary. Idols are worthless. He who is the portion of Jacob is not like these, for he is the maker of all things, including Israel, the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord Almighty is his name. He has made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom. The source of all wisdom founded the world. And wisdom was the craftsman by his side. Jeremiah said, now that's someone you can count on. Throw all the other stuff away because it's worthless. Count on the source of all those things. Now you've got something. Okay? So now that we've been looking at some of these older scriptures, the Old Testament, Proverbs, you know, 900 B.C., Jeremiah, 600 B.C., somewhere in there. And they're all talking about this wisdom, this source of this wisdom and what it is and everything. Well, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians, Acts, Romans, Corinthians in the New Testament. And we're probably just going to get to read this, and that's all today. So give you something to think about next week. But now then, as I'm reading this, because just in the first two chapters, Paul mentions the word wisdom 16 times. So you might want to pay attention, okay? But as I read through this, I want you to start keying on all the same words and all the same descriptions and all the same effects. He talks about wisdom, okay? That we've just been reading from hundreds of years before Christ. So just as I'm reading through this, start picking up on these things. 1 Corinthians 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in Him you have been enriched in every way in all your speaking and all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this, one of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, and still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you are baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. I just love that. Well, on the other hand, here you have the Apostle Paul, who's writing inspired word from the Holy Spirit and going, you know, I don't remember exactly. I just think that is so beautiful. And that's what God used these people to do. He got the message across, but here's fallible Paul going, well, I'm not sure, but I just think that's incredible. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? There it is. The human-based wisdom is never certain. For since in the wisdom of God the world, through its wisdom, did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now wait a minute. What did he just say?
What did you just say there? What did you just say? Come on. Christ is the wisdom of God. That's what he said. Okay. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Man. Incredible. All right, so what are some of the similarities? He made some pretty incredible statements. One of them is, Jesus Christ has become wisdom for us. What else is in there? What else is in there that looks the same? Huh?
Wisdom came from the beginning.
From the beginning? See? All of this is in there. So if you go back to Proverbs 8, where did it come from? Appointed from eternity, first of Lord's works. I was a craftsman by the Lord's side. Whoever finds me finds life. And all of a sudden Paul is going, and Jesus Christ is that wisdom. Yes.
Well, and I think through all of these passages, he's also saying, it's okay to seek wisdom from other people, but seek it from me first.
Good. That's the true source of all wisdom. You may have your spiritual role models, godly people in your life. Go ahead. That's good source. But the ultimate source has to be God. And when we get into this... That's right. He's already seen it. He knows the perfect answer. So now then, that lends back to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14, and He became flesh and dwelt among us. Here is the Word who was with God from the beginning. The world was formed through Him and for Him. And all of a sudden, Paul is saying, and He is that wisdom. He is God's wisdom lived out on earth, and you have that mind in you. I don't act like it sometimes. But that's what Paul says. That's where we'll pick up next week. Any questions?
Yeah.
Yes. That's right. Yeah, see, we change so much.
Yeah.
The foolishness of man's wisdom. I mean, you just look at how much things change because of our ignorance. Sometimes it's because of our outright stupidity. But, you know, we think we're so smart and so advanced. Things pop up every day that even the leading scientists are going, "Ooh, wow, I didn't expect that one." Well, there's still so much that we don't know. And if we're depending on that, guess what? We're going to be messed up somewhere along the line. I mean, some people quit using salt on their eggs. And come to find out, salt and eggs are okay this week. So, let's have a word of prayer. Dearest Lord, we thank You that You are wisdom, that You are a God above all things, that You are the source of all things. Without You, we are truly nothing. God, in every manner that we approach and every question that comes in our life, help us to approach You first as the source of that wisdom. God, our short-term perspective is so pitiful. We need Your perspective on all things so that we may glorify You. God, in all things that we do, let us bring honor to You. All of our choices are to glorify You and to bring honor to Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. In His name, amen. Thank you for being here.